Good afternoon. Today is Thursday, August the 22nd, 212th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon is the newly installed 5 months ago. Wasn't 5 months ago.
May 1st. Yeah.
May, June, July, August. Oh, so it's only been four months. Shined us on.
Yeah.
Okay. Adam Yeager moving up from Redway to the burgeoning metropolis of Arcata.
To the sunshine.
You betcha.
Somewhere out there.
You betcha, yes. So you're patrolling Fickle Hill, too, huh? Oh, well, nice to have you on board as a regular now.
Thank you.
All right. This afternoon we'll spend a bit of time, just a skosh, talking about new command, what's the difference when there is turnover, some of the changes that Adam is looking forward to implementing, some that have already occurred, some of the things that he really thinks are baseline solid stuff that don't need any attention. And we'll also, I'm sure, kick around some other stuff too when we come back.
At my bank, I feel at home. I'm Trish Greggie of the Journey's End, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, hometown banking isn't just something they say, it's how they do business. I'm Kevin McClendon of Georgia's Glass, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
At my bank, we invest in the future of our community every single day. I'm Greg Foster, and my bank is Redwood Capital Bank.
Redwood Capital Bank. Our interest is you. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager, but before we do, our quote this afternoon comes from Ralph Hodgson, who's talking about ESP. It's about as deep as we're going to go into anything. Some things have to be believed to be seen.
Wow.
You got the little double and twisty. Okay.
Good. Like it.
Really? Don't you swear in a Bible sometime each day?
I believe that.
Oh, boy. So, is the big boy chair fitting you yet?
Yeah, the first thing I did is actually move the chair out because it was ripped and torn and wasn't doing very well. So went back and stole one of my sergeant's chairs. And yeah, it's good. It's fitting me.
Okay, so that wasn't the Podinsky Memorial that you rolled out.
Yeah, I'm thinking they might have stuck that there on purpose.
Yeah. So. Well, that's kind of cool, actually. Is there a hazing for the new commander?
Oh.
Good-natured, but a hazing.
A little bit of good-natured, probably, yeah. But
that would explain the flat tires and the bubble gum. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
You've been around and around and around and around. Did you know what you were getting into with Arcata?
Yeah, I did. And I was looking forward to this. And, I mean, this is my third tour here. I worked as an officer and a sergeant and now back as a commander. And so it's good for the area to have somebody that's from born and raised here in Humboldt County and knows the area. So,
how much of an advantage is it?
I think it's a big advantage. I know, you know, the sheriff, and I know the police department, and the department heads, and the different agencies, and the board of supervisors, and of course the mayor of Eureka, and so that's good.
He's not making you pay for Thanksgiving dinner now.
No.
Good.
Yeah.
Make sure that the elders still take care of business the way they're
absolutely
supposed to.
Yeah.
With the command as it is, Adam, and the way that you've got already knowing a lot of the players, does that make the transition that much quicker? Or, and I don't mean to be sacrilegious, but are you further along than some of the previous guys ever got to?
Yeah, I think I am, just because of my knowledge of the community. And that's a huge learning curve for a new person, a new captain coming in, not knowing everybody, and knowing the key contacts and knowing everybody. So that right there, I can hit the ground running. The office is running really smoothly, and I'm familiar with it. I have the added responsibility of a dispatch center. But overall, yeah, definitely the learning curve was easier for me, I believe.
When you get new recruits then coming into the office, are you able to be as sympathetic here as you would be, let's say, if they stuck you out in the middle of the desert?
Actually,
and you had to learn everything, and then the new guys, you at least would have a maybe a handbook you could follow and say, well, this is what took me time.
Right. And we do have a commander's desk reference that you can go by and learn by. But again, being in Garberville for 6 years as a commander, yeah, I kind of know what boxes to check and what to do. So,
what's the biggest challenge of Arcata?
Right now, the biggest challenge that I have is that we're short six positions. And so
six
positions due to retirements and a promotion. It's a more senior squad than I had down in Garberville. So that's hard because we're not putting out as many units that I'd like. We're kind of band-aiding. You know, if we have problems on 36, we'll throw somebody down there. But then now we're eliminating a position up in the corridor or maybe up in Oryk that needs to be there. So that's the hardest part.
Six short, is that the equivalent of two folks out most all the time?
That would be, yes. I think
there's a vulnerability associated with that.
There is, and we're not able to be as reactive as we'd like to be, or proactive, I should say. Like I said, it's a Band-Aid. We go where the complaints are and doing our best we can.
Are you able to, out of the state, are they looking to backfill these positions? Is it a financial thing? Is this the new size of the office? I mean, or is this just happens to be a transitional period and you'll be back up to full speed?
Well, the problem is that we had reduced our academy sizes over the last few years because of budget and not hiring. So we finally got the green light to hire. So we are hiring. We just did a process where we did a written and oral, and we have a group of candidates. But our academy sizes have went way down. The academy that's in right now is only have 45 cadets in there, and that's not enough to keep up with retirement statewide. But hopefully we're going to, what I understand, in September, we're going to have a pretty decent sized class. But normally every 3 to 4 months, we were putting out 150, 200 new officers, and that just has not happened in the last 2 years.
45 is a little shy of that one.
It is.
Can you guys take laterals from other departments, or is the CHP kind of its own entity?
We are our own. We've looked at that over the years, and we took over the state police, and that transition worked. But no, we're not doing laterals.
KINS News and Information. Merle can rest easy this
he
week.
Can.
KINS News and Information Times 319.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. Mark the dates August 14th through the 25th for the 117th annual Humboldt County Fair in Ferndale. Beginning opening day, there'll be 8 days of fast horse racing. Competing beef and dairy cattle, goats, poultry, sheep, and swine will be on display and judged. The flower pavilion will be filled with beautiful plants grown by county gardeners. The art pavilion will have many delights for the eye. And enjoy the judged exhibits of locally made items, from baked goods to hand-spun yarn, with much in between such as decorated potatoes, scarecrows, quilts, rugs, and home brews. There'll be plenty to eat and drink, so you can treat yourself to corn dogs and cotton candy. The commercial exhibits building will feature fascinating products. And of course, there's the Ferris wheel and other rides the kids will want to try. For hours and information, call 786-9511. That's 786-9511. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people, places, and things that makes us a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS News and Information Time. It's 3:24. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager from the California Highway Patrol. Adam, some of the different challenges with the new slot, you'd mentioned dispatch. Okay, dispatch for most of us goes, yeah, okay, fine. Yeah, somebody in charge, and they handle the call-ins, and they tell people where to go, and they go. No big deal?
Yeah, it's a big deal for us. One, it's separate because our dispatch center is over housed at the Caltrans building, so it's not housed with us. In most areas, they're housed the same area. So there's the one challenge. The second is, again, we're three positions down over at dispatch. We're waiting for a new test to come out for dispatchers. And then we handle all 911 calls in the county. And so we're taking up to 175 to 200 calls a day, 911 calls. And we have an expectation that those calls will be answered within the first 10 seconds. And it's tough. And you need at least three dispatchers in that center to be able to handle that call volume and get the calls back out to the field and or transferred to the appropriate agencies if it doesn't.
If you had unlimited budget, can any of that be automated or be made quicker, or is it running at peak efficiencies regardless?
I think we're at peak efficiencies. We have a new radio system out. We changed over our new system there at dispatch, and everything's computerized, and they got big screens in front of them and touch screens. And I think it's about as efficient as we want to go right now with, you know, so.
So it's just a matter of getting more bodies.
More bodies and dealing with the call volume. And yeah.
Why is there so much turnover? I recall when we were growing up, this was paradise for CHP. Everybody wanted to come here. Everybody was transferring here. Everybody had it on their short list. What's happened?
That's a good question. I know, again, without recruiting the last few years, we haven't hired any local people that want to come back in here. And
that's, but working LA versus working the safety corridor, I would think guys who enjoy life and life expectancy would kind of be clamoring to end up here.
But, you know, the cost of living up here used to be a lot cheaper, too, and houses were a lot cheaper than L.A. and the Bay Area, and that's not the case anymore. And so a lot of these guys go back to – the officers go back to where they want to be and or where they're from, and they buy houses and they get into the community, and then it's harder to move. And, you know, normally we're getting people – that are from here coming back here that want it, like myself. Again, for someone just to uproot and come here, and when they're paying same amount of, for a house up here than they would in L.A. or the Bay Area.
This feels mind-boggling, isn't it?
It is mind-boggling.
And, you know, maybe when we get the grow houses all knocked out,
maybe
then at least the inventory would be available for stuff to happen.
Yeah.
That's when you try to get somebody here, are you looking for a certain personality, or are you just looking for a warm body, and if they stick, great, and if they bounce and move on somewhere after a couple of years, that's okay too?
Yeah, we're looking for, you know, we have our feelers out. We ask our officers to feel out and look out. But, you know, we've had a few come in here that aren't from here, and their family or spouses don't like it, and they up and leave after a year
just
or two.
Just like the medical professionals and everybody else. That's got to be a little frustrating, you know, particularly after you have them trained up and they finally know where Old Arcata Road is.
Yeah.
to have something like that happen. Is there any effort to recruit out of Humboldt State?
Right now we are doing a pretty good recruitment. We got Matt Harvey in as my new public affairs officer and recruitment officer, and we're going to have a booth at the Humboldt County Fair, and whenever Humboldt State or College of Redwoods or job fairs, he'll be there with a booth and be recruiting. So
more of a local push.
Yes.
For recruitment.
Yes.
Also. If somebody starts or is from here, can they stay here their whole career, or do they have to go somewhere else and then come back?
They're going to go to the academy in Sacramento, and then depending on where the openings are. I mean, it used to be you went to L.A. or you went to the Bay Area, but like I said, in Garville, the last 6 years, we've taken over 20 new officers from the academy. And
Then you nail some of them, bring them up.
Yeah,
here.
I have. I've stole a few that have.
What kind of pal are you?
Yeah. I've stole a few, but yeah. Not fair. I've been, yeah.
When you left, did that leave Southern Humboldt, Northern Mendocino vulnerable?
I don't think so.
Or is everybody,
because the Brett Fabry, who was a sergeant in Humboldt that also grew up, born and raised here in Humboldt County, took over my position and worked down there as an officer and knows the sheriff in Mendocino County and knows Southern Humboldt. So that's worked out very well. Again, first succession planning and getting someone that's from here to be in that command as well. So
yeah, I had heard rumors on the street that it was an upgrade, but, you know.
Oh, okay.
Boy, it must have been a really rough day for you so far, huh? Yeah, a little too much cotton candy down there with Matt.
Yeah. Brett's a perfect fit for Garverville, and that's worked out very well. So
there really are personalities for different communities, aren't there?
Yes. Yeah.
Do they use that or incorporate that when they're looking for post assignments?
They do. When they do the interview process, they do. That's one of the things they look at and talk to other people. And
yeah, make sure you can handle either, if you have to be a nasty guy.
Yeah.
Or, someone less strict. I was going to say goofy, but that goofy. Probably wouldn't be appropriate, huh?
Yeah.
Not as long as you have a gun with
no
bullets
goofiness.
In it. No goofy, no.
No.
Professional.
That's right.
KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:30. We'll be back with more from Adam Yeager.
Choosing new furniture for your home can be a challenge. Will the colors match? Will the fabrics go well? Will it be comfortable? And will it last? Solve these questions with a visit to Vern's Furniture. Vern's Furniture Consultants have the knowledge to put the right room together for you, whether it's the living room, bedroom, dining room, or laundry room. Vern's has what you're looking for. Free delivery and so much more. Vern's Furniture in downtown Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:35. We're back to talk shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Adam is the area commander for the CHP out of the Arcata office. A couple weeks ago, we had that Amber Alert, and it was the guy who abducted the 16-year-old, Southern California. And I know I had a couple of people say, why are we doing it here? We're so far away. Okay. And then the Caltrans signs started popping it up. And then you'd hear, may have been sighted in Northern California, Oregon. And then you heard Oregon, Washington. Obviously, he ended up in Idaho, and then he ended up horizontal 6 feet under. How does the Amber Alert go through your guys' system? Do you start looking? Do you have all your guys always looking? How do you avoid either being blasé or being way over the top with this stuff?
Well, in this particular case, there was they knew he was going to go north, so that's why it traveled from San Diego and it hit up here immediately, because we knew. And obviously, he did drive. Probably, he could have drove right through here or could have drove up I-5. But if there is information that it possibly could be coming to our area, they're going to put it out statewide, and then it's going to bleed out to the other states as well. But
bleed out?
Okay, it's going to get, the information's going to get out
spread,
to the other
shared,
spread, share. Yeah. Yeah, probably a better choice of words. Thanks.
Okay,
thanks for pointing that out.
Yeah.
But, it doesn't always the case, and sometimes it'll stay within, San Diego or L.A. County. We'll know about it as officers, but we might not need to get it out on the Caltrans signs, and it just depends. So
yeah, and triggering it throughout. Now, for those who are unfamiliar with Amber Alerts, how old, what's the top end? Because that was the other feedback I had, was she's 16. That doesn't sound like a three-year-old. Yeah, but it's a kid, and there was a kidnap, and
it's a
the
juvenile.
Basic premise.
Yeah, it's a juvenile. So, and I believe when that first came out, too, we thought maybe her brother, who ultimately ended up being found deceased in the burned house, was also with him. So,
a lot of these types of abductions, Adam, I know that there are certain things that law enforcement has to have in place before you'll trigger something. Is that a frustration point? Would you rather see it just go boom, and if it happens to be a brother taking him for a drive somewhere or something very, very tame, very safe, very normal, call it off? Or it seems like at one side, it's very efficient, and from another perspective, you go, this could be better.
Yeah, I think all these things could be better, but you also have the fear that you're going to burn out the effectiveness of it. So I think what we have in place with a known abduction, we know, a vehicle, we know the circumstances, I think it's very effective. And I don't have the numbers in front of me right now, but it's been very effective.
That's right. My recollection is that when there's an Amber Alert, the capture rate, I guess would be what it is, or solve or whatever, seems to be really high.
It's good, yeah.
And I think that's probably why so many are standing behind it as aggressively as they
yes.
do. Are there other alerts that the agency has that may not be to, may not reach the same level of seriousness, but the communications within the department or cross departments, you know, but still in law enforcement that are out there that are sharing information that just don't necessarily make it out into the general public?
There is. And if it doesn't meet the criteria for an Amber Alert, but it looks like there's a possible child in danger, but we don't have all the information, it goes out, but it just not at the extreme of an Amber Alert. We also have a Silver Alert that is a recent thing where an elderly driver will wander off, you know, and that is daily. We have those coming out daily to the local enforcement in the area wherever that happened. So that's
somebody driving off or just someone getting lost?
Well, it's both. It could be someone that's just lost or someone that's in a car that has driven off and maybe a little bit confused and they don't know, the family feels that they don't know what they're doing or they're out of ordinary what they're doing and haven't shown back up at their house. And
the pattern is broken for
it is.
One way
yeah.
or another.
Yeah.
It seems like we'll have three or four of those a year. Somebody just kind of wandering off from either the old folks' home or out of their house
yes.
or whatever it yeah. is. Somehow that's kind of cool. Now, it would be it's interesting also for me to hear you say that because typically most people think the Highway Patrol does just that. But you're in Eureka. You're driving through Arcata. You're driving through Fortuna. Yeah, I mean, the partnering with the law enforcement agencies, is that why there's more involvement with things like that?
Absolutely. And especially up here because we do work very closely with the allied agencies and we hear each other on the scanners and our dispatchers are contacting each other and we're rolling to back them up. They're backing us up all the time. So,
what does it take to drop a nail strip? I know, out of left field. But I'm thinking of some of the different incidences we've heard in the last little bit. Either it's the accidental, geez, look, they got 500 pounds of pot in the back trunk, or meth or whatever. Or some of these guys going at these super high speed, zipping around all over the place, whether it's in town or out on the highway, and you guys having to deploy these strips.
Yeah,
I have visions of 16 penny nails pointed in the direction of the traffic. And then, no, it can't be that, because if they hit that, they'd be out of control. We hear about cars flipping all over the place, too. So what does it take to put these strips down, and what are they?
They're called spike strips, and we keep them in the back of every patrol car. And so if a pursuit is going in a particular direction and we have an officer that's ahead of everything, they'll set up in a safe location and deploy that spike strip, and there's a lot of communication between the pursuing officers and between dispatch and the officer that's setting that up.
So you don't take out the guy in front of the guy that you want?
Yeah, and I've seen that over the years. We've popped innocent people's tires. I've seen CHP car tires go flat and allied agency tires go flat.
That would be bad timing at the end.
Yeah. So I've seen a lot of that but over the years. But
that part of the training? The guy with the lights on, don't yeah, pop his tires.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a separate chapter,
yeah.
I thought.
But you're right. But it happens. It happens.
So it has to be obviously a certain kind of chase, because if somebody's going 95, let's say, do you drop one of those things down also, or can they be going so fast that you don't want to?
No, there's danger.
You can drop one on that too.
We can drop it. So. And it's very effective when it flattens those tires. Very effective. They might make it a while. I know we had one from Garverville about 6-7 years back where we got one tire and he drove on that rim from Wyatt all the way to McKinleyville before he decided he was going to stop.
Really?
But, yeah.
Grooving the highway the whole way?
There's still a groove from Wyatt all the way to McKinleyville. Even when they pave, it comes through. But it's very effective when it gets all the tires or two or three tires.
So when it sounds like it's a half of the roadway or one lane. Is that the normal length, or can you go out double lanes?
We can go one lane.
Yeah. Okay, so that's how we could only have one tire nailed.
Yeah.
What's it like the first time you see that happen?
It's pretty cool. Yeah, it's pretty, like I said, it's effective when you see the tires blow. And a lot of times the person that's being pursued are very aware that that's going to happen. And someone that's a seasoned veteran at running, But
a repeater,
and then, yeah, that's why we always, you know, we're in very safe locations and very careful where we do it, how we do it.
That's what I was wondering. It's probably not just a matter of dropping this thing down, because if, let's say, between Wiat and Fortuna, you got four lanes, pretty much all the stretch. Well, if somebody loses control, you don't want to be causing a situation.
No, we don't. And that's the big, that's the touchy point with pursuits. You know, at what point, we had one recently with the white Toyota pickup that's stolen that ran from the sheriff's department. He also ran from us, but, you know, we know who he is. And we weren't able to get a spike strip or get a helicopter over here, but we let him go. We're not going to endanger innocent people by chasing somebody when we know who they are, or when it gets so dangerous, we'll call it off.
And just get them a couple hours later, kind of thing?
If we have, yeah. Don't, we'll get them.
Yeah. It's amazing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's at Safeway, or, you know, your favorite store kind of thing. Yeah, we just got it pulled up and nailed them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's always the best way to do it. If we can get them without having to chase them, that's what we want.
Imagine that.
Yeah.
Yeah. KINS, News and Information Time.
Sacred Heart Church invites you to join us every Sunday for our liturgical celebrations. Saturday, 4 p.m. Confessions. 5 p.m. Sunday's Vigil Mass. 7 p.m. Spanish Mass, and on Sundays, 9:30 Morning Mass and 12:30 Spanish Mass. Come and celebrate with us.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 3:47. Back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Adam, some of the different challenges that are out there, I would think, particularly being a local, you know what it used to be like. Are you able to wrap your head around about what it is like? We had a reunion a couple weeks ago. The non-PC term, which I'm fully embracing now, are the zombies on Broadway. The amount of drug activity, not just pot, but everything else. The international criminal element that's going on. All these things that, this isn't the town we grew up in, and yet it's a town we live in. So as you're looking at that, do you have a tough time saying, remember when, instead of game on today?
I do. I talk to my kids about how I used to ride my bike from my house at Cedar and Pine down to the docks and fish all day long, and then ride up to Skoy Park and cook the fish at Skoy Park and, you know, in a fire pit, and ride home and be gone all day long, and, you know, and it's disappointing, but there are still a lot of great people here and a lot of great places to go and see, and I know it seems like it's more visible, and I guess it is, but I think law enforcement's doing the best they can given the situations that we're in, and I still think it's a great, you know, great place to live and a safe place to live. And yes, there's some frustrating things out there. I worked the, you know, drug task force for 4 years in the early 90s and watched what that does to the county and the prices, how they dropped because there's so much of it out there. And
not to put you too much on the spot, but is there something that law enforcement can do, or even does CHP have a role in, not drug suppression, but in helping to alter the culture a little bit? I mean, there's a bunch of folks now that I'm talking with on a regular basis that says, we've had enough. This is enough. It's time for us to push back. It's time for us to do something, save our community kind of thing. Is that a role for law enforcement, or can you guys have that luxury of being able to be proactive in some of these things?
No, we're very proactive. We have an officer that's on the gang task force for Humboldt County. We have an officer on the drug task force. We have officers that are assigned to camp during the summertime, and we're out there helping them all the time. So, yeah.
Good deal. Hope to see you on the front lines every once in a while.
Thank you. Yeah.
Yeah, at least I'll be looking for your fancy car.
Okay.
We've been Talking Shop this afternoon with Adam Yeager. Join us tomorrow afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out, make it a good day. Hug someone else. See you tomorrow.